Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Thanks for joining us. This week it's Manchester United v Brighton and Hove Albion. On the Man United team is Andrew Ryan and Ian Danter. Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, this is terrifying. I've got a bright white light shining in my face in an otherwise darkened room.
Andrew, how are you feeling? Another appearance on Glory Hunters.
Oh, it's great. I'm Irish. I'm a Man United fan, so I was born to be a Glory Hunter.
Yes, who should you be supporting? Who is your local Irish team?
Cove Ramblers in the Irish First Division.
And why don't you just support them?
Because they don't play that often, and it's a bit like Torquay. I do not like Torquay, but I don't live there, and also they were out of business for a while when I was growing up, and they've come back. So,
well, you should support them. Stephen Grant and Wendy Wason.
Hello.
On the Brighton team sheet.
On the Brighton team
sheet.
Spent
a few weekends in Brighton in your life.
I have done Brighton. Yes, I like Brighton. It's a lovely place. They have seagulls that look like men in bird suits, though. Absolutely terrifying, vicious seagulls.
They are big seagulls. And Stephen, you live there, of course.
Yeah, so my definition of glory hunting is slightly different. I do support my local team, having been born in Brighton. But in Brighton, a sense of victim status is very much aspirational. And so the constant sense of disappointment we feel is in actual ways a success. So the glory for us is supporting someone who people feel sorry for, but ultimately still do well enough to stay within the Premier League. And that is absolutely our intention every year when we nail it.
Well, let's find out how disappointed Stephen's going to be on the podcast. Here it is. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that's a gladiatorial battle of wits. Our guests are given the opportunity to represent the team they've always supported in a coliseum of conflict and conjecture. But who will win their freedom and who will be fed to the lions? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Now this week, our second semi-final sees Man United take on Brighton. Andrew Ryan is representing Man United alongside team captain Ian Danter. Hello, gentlemen.
Yes, good morning.
Hey,
hello.
Charlie, how are you?
Very, very nice to see you. And on the team sheet for Brighton is Stephen Grant, who's with team captain Wendy Wason. Hello.
Hello, Charlie.
Yes, it's very nice to see you all. Thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it. Dance, your first time on Glory Hunters.
I know. The privileged company, yeah.
Obviously, captain as well, team captain. Have you ever been a captain before?
I was always captain of the second team at school. I had that sort of dubious. I was never good enough for the first team, but I always seemed to be good enough to captain the second team, which I took as a backhanded compliment.
I think that's better than sitting on the bench, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I, as cricket captain of the second team, I was unlucky not to get promoted to the first.
I can imagine. But who wants to be the bottle carrier for the first team when you've been
chief
captain?
Chief teammaker and bottle washer, I knew my place, yeah.
Now, but you could also step in for Steve Bruce if you needed to. Can you tell us why people might confuse the two of you right now?
Well, you know, that's because, in fact, what I've got to do, I've got to press my nose in for this to make the voice work.
Really good.
I've been working on my Steve Bruce for Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport, and I've been reading extracts of my novel, Striker, that came out in 1999. And it's quite a gripping read, I have to tell you, for sure.
Very, yes, very good. What other managers you got in your locker?
Trevor Francis is probably my, favourite because, it's a bit niche. And, he's not really relevant anymore, but I still do him anyway because, you know, nobody else does.
It's good. It's a very specific West Country accent. Very, you've Plymouth, got, which is yes, very good. Yes. A lot of people just would go very,
well, there you go. As very a man from the West Country,
very
would
pirate
spot.
Or farmer on it would normally go, but yeah, you've gone very specific. Who else you got?
Oh, crikey. You could have...
You've got Andrew next to you, a famous Irish manager. David O'Leary. You've got
David O'Leary, yeah.
Well, you know, David O'Leary's one of those there that they're a good bunch. They're an honest bunch and they're only babies and they found their way to the training ground. But I wouldn't know about them winning games in that way, my friend.
Fantastic. If he ever said...
My friend.
You're in trouble.
To you. Oh, yeah, he absolutely hated your guts. You knew you were at death's door.
Was that a good effort? Where's he from, David O'Leary, Andrew?
He's from Dublin, isn't he? Kildare, Dublin, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you do Mick McCarthy?
Well, Mick doesn't sound like he comes from Dublin. Dear, oh dear. Much more sackcloth and ashes, Barnsley. Dear, oh, Roy Keane, dear, oh
there
dear.
Sounds quite choppy for a man who's just out of a job.
Well, you know, I'm not going to get carried away with B-45s. Plenty more fish in the sea.
It's brilliant, dance. Now, football management, you've tried your hand at this, haven't you, Andrew?
I have, yeah.
And you've been playing a lot of Football Manager until recently. Why is that?
Got an ultimatum from the old girlfriend.
Ah.
Yeah. So basically, she noticed that I was very withdrawn recently in the relationship.
Yeah.
I had been scouting a lot of the Scandinavian under-18 leagues for some young youth development that I wanted to promote. But what we decided to do was I decided I'd stop playing because it was getting a bit ridiculous, right? So I started to go out on my legal one exercise trip a day.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of days ago, I was out running and I came across a man breaking into a vehicle while I was running. And I did what any good upstanding citizen would do, was I did nothing. Right?
Just watched him.
I watched it and I went, oh, he's breaking into a car. And I just keep running because I'm not going to go near him. It's not my car. I've got no emotional attachment to this vehicle. But I did have my phone on me. So I ran around the corner and I rang the police. And he was picked up and spent some time at Her Majesty's pleasure with the Met Police. And they came to my house and they took a statement. And at the end of the statement, the guy said, you have a very good memory and I like the way how you've given us this information. Have you ever thought about joining the police? And then he showed me a link to the speed. You can do a 2-year course to become a detective in the Met Police. You can do it within 2 years. And I gave a statement, the guy, you know, but luckily, you know, he didn't steal the stuff. He was caught breaking in. He was arrested. I did my duty on my exercise walk. And I've also been recruited by the Metropolitan Police.
It made me think, Andrew, has he seen your act?
I said, I went back to my girlfriend. I said, I've just been recruited by the police. She goes, 1 minute you're doing Football Manager, now you're joining the police.
I think you'd be a good policeman. Are you going to follow it up?
No. Oh. No, I'm going to continue with...
Tell me, if you ever got to the cup final on Football Manager, did you do that thing of putting your suit on?
No,
the game.
I've never because I only got it a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
and
right.
I've been managing low-level teams in Ireland because I don't want to do the Premiership. I want to do somebody that's really struggling.
Oh, you're trying to be honourable, aren't you?
Trying to be honourable, yeah. But it's actually taken up way too much of my time. And quite frankly, I've deleted it.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's like homework. It's like having homework.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
I don't like it. Yeah. Now, Wendy, as an Arsenal fan, we thought asking you to captain Man United might be a bit of a stretch. The whole Martin Keown, Van Nistelrooy image. That's all I can see when I think of those two teams. But Brighton, do you have any affinity with Brighton at all?
Do you know what? I was just saying this earlier. I keep my eye on Neil Maupay because I go to Brentford as well. I quite going to Brentford because I like being so close to the... Because Arsenal's such a big... some would say sort of not much atmosphere type stadium. Not me, I wouldn't say that.
Obviously.
But I quite like going to Brentford because it's so immediate and I saw Neil Maupay and I keep my eye on him.
Now, you're with Stephen Grant today. Stephen, you are, of course, almost a professional Brighton fan.
Because there's so few of us.
So, exactly. Are you longing for the season to be cancelled? Seeing as where you are in the...
I think so. Sixth off the bottom.
Yeah.
Still with some fairly meaty games
and
coming
on a
up.
Slump.
And the only Premier League team to have not won in 2020. It would be great if the season ended now. But I understand and I honour the demand of people to finish the season some way, shape or form. And I still think we probably would be OK. But it's... not been great. I think we've been sussed.
So, the scene is set for Man United v Brighton. The C will go first. We start with a clip of Louis van Gaal enjoying himself at the Man United Christmas party.
I remember the meeting with the players, with the captain Wayne Rooney, who's saying we go for the second position in the league. And I said, yes! We go for it! Ryan Giggs said to me, and he is right, he is always right, but in this case, particularly right. I have said to you that you are the best fans of the world, but I was tonight a little bit disappointed. Yeah, and I shall say why. I have seen a lady who plays the saxophone fantastically. Give her a big applause.
This is the question. Where did Louis van Gaal come in a 2019 poll of the greatest football managers of all time? Where did Louis van Gaal come in a 2019 poll of the greatest football managers of all time? Now, it's sealed bids, so while both teams confer, here's a short musical interlude. So we have the sealed bids in from Brighton and Man United. Wendy and Stephen, you have said he came fourth in the greatest football managers of all time. Seems quite high. And Manchester United, Ian Danta and Andrew Ryan, you have said 38th in the greatest football managers of all time. Seems quite high. And Manchester United, Ian Danta and Andrew Ryan, you have said 38th. The answer is 18th. 18th, ooh, which means Brighton.
Wow.
Good
you
call.
Are 14 away. Man United, you were 20 away. So that means Brighton, you will kick off next as both teams try and convince me that they are the biggest footballing force here today as we do this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
Yes, my club's bigger than your club. We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They're free to employ any reasoning they wish. This isn't about medals on the table. This is an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Brighton, Stephen, you are going first and your 30 seconds starts now.
OK, in any conventional battle, Brighton versus Manchester United would seem like a very tough shout. But the reality of it is that where Brighton is greater than Manchester United is in one of catchment area. The thing about Brighton is, from a professional team perspective, with the exception of the slight blemish that is Crawley Town, we pretty much stretch in a 50-mile direction in every direction. There is no other professional team that really looks after Sussex, so much so that our actual theme tune, if you like, is Sussex by the Sea. We are the professional club of Sussex. That's how we like to look at ourselves. Whereas at Manchester United, what are you? Just within a walking distance, assuming you would walk in that neck of the woods, City, Oldham, Stockport, you could argue about Bury and Wigan and many others as well. Brighton is a bigger team by virtue of the fact that if you all sort out the demographics for an equal population density, we're bigger.
Andrew Ryan, could you please tell us why Man United is a bigger team than Brighton?
Well, it would be very easy for me to mention the trophies that Man United have won in the past. Obviously, we've won 20 English Championships and 12 FA Cups, and Brighton haven't won any of them. So I'm not going to be mentioning that to prove that we're actually bigger than you, because that would be a little bit unfair. Instead, what I'm going to look at, cost of living. Okay, so Manchester is actually 13% cheaper to live in. Brighton is 13% more expensive. I once stayed down in Brighton and paid £35 for car parking overnight when I found out that it was actually £30 for a parking ticket. So actually, it was easier and better for me to give money to the local council than it was to give it to the private landlords of car parking companies, right? Not only that, Manchester United have had one ground through their whole history under the name of Manchester United, where Brighton have had three different grounds, right? Brighton, for me, is a small city with a small town mentality, which is much more expensive, more sort of a... I wouldn't be surprised if you got hummus on flatbread during half-time, whereas at Manchester United, you get more of an atmosphere and more of a vibe. Manchester United is much bigger than Brighton, and I would say we're about 13% bigger than them.
You've ever parked in the NCP in the centre of Manchester? It's stupidly expensive.
It's £22.
£22.
By Bridgewater Hall, yeah.
But
you know,
the thing
I thought
is about...
comedy would be all glamorous, but it's not. It's just comics talking about the price of parking and motorways.
Exactly.
That's the whole chat.
The thing is, you've forgotten as well about Brighton, is it's by the sea.
But it's not a beach, is it, though? For a beach, you need sand and water. You've got rocks and water.
But you're underestimating
sand.
Rural poverty and the seaside. It's the forgotten towns and cities in this country.
Are the heartbeat of Britain, are they?
They are the heartbeat, and they're forgotten in this country.
Yeah, like Southend-on-Sea, is it?
So point out that I'm Brighton fans listening right now will be bouncing off the walls, right? I'm annoyed for two reasons, right? The first one is a Brighton fan reason, which is we've had three grounds because we had our ground of nearly 100 years sold from underneath.
There we are.
Us.
Yeah. So you don't understand
and
that.
We were homeless, not of our own making, and fought very hard to get back to where we are, and we're very proud of our stadium. And the second reason is, if you are 13% more expensive, then you are not 13% less expensive from the other direction. That's not how percentages work. If something is £100 and it's £113 somewhere else, that is 13% more expensive. If you're £113, something that's £100 is only about 12.5% less expensive because it's a proportion of the figure that you're starting with. And regrettably,
facts, Andrew.
Understanding how proportional percentages works is very important to people.
I didn't know this was a maths quiz. Exactly right. So I'm going to give.
Can I make a statement?
No, I'm going to give Brighton. I'm going to give Brighton all 3 points because it was a very arrogant Man United-ish answer. So I didn't like it at all, Andrew. I thought it brought out the worst in you.
It wasn't very getting in a local beer at all, was it?
It wasn't.
His strength is that he's got 2 feet, which a lot of people don't have these days.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast with me, Charlie Baker, on Talk Sport.
Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
I'm going to invite each member of the panel to suggest an idea they believe will change sport for the better. They're free to be as radical as they wish in their pursuit of progress, even if it means being denounced by sport's moral guardians. Previous suggestions have included abolishing half-time, a reduction in Olympic sports, and even changing the name of football. No cow is sacred in this sporting abattoir. Dance, we're going to start with you, and you want to tell us how they're going to sex up the luge.
Well, I look at the luge and this ridiculously overly expensive equipment that they use to fling themselves down the run on. And of course, what we were always told, they're going down head first on a tea tray. Well, use a flipping tea tray then. Let's have the luge and let's give, B&M Bargains a bit of a leg up.
Nice.
In these troubled financial times, that sales of tea trays can, increase significantly. And we can properly tell the technique of these individuals, particularly about how the hell they stop. Once they got to the end of the run. Yeah, the luge on a proper tea tray. None of these imaginary tea trays.
This is a lovely idea, Dan. It really is. Because you could even go... might even be particularly nice if you got more points if you had one teacup and a biscuit. And if you got it all to the bottom, how much tea have you spilt?
Well, that's more... it's a knockout than Winter Olympics.
Yeah, but it's nice, though, isn't it? If there's added points. And he's really got the coffee down the bottom there. No froth off the top of the milk.
I'd be amazed if they made it to the bottom, frankly, on a tea tray without shearing off over the edge halfway down. But, a proper test of skill.
Other than that, it's an excellent idea, and I'm going to give you 3 goals, Dance. Stephen, I've got here, it just says age restriction.
Yeah, now, what I'm discussing is radical, and you mentioned that. It's progressive, it's definitely that. But most importantly, I reckon it's going to be seriously considered.
Okay.
And I believe there should be an age limitation on viewing live sports. In this new post-viral world that we're all enter back into, I think now is the time for the reboot that the sporting world has been crying out for. Because realistically, viewing live sports has become a slightly more middle-aged, affluent adventure. And what's happened there as a result is that the noise and the drama and the kind of the viscerous nature of supporting has died off as it's become comfortable and middle class. Mm-hmm. And as we know, there has been issues with certain ages of people being outdoors, but this is something we're not going to think about. We're going to think about how we're going to reboot and make the world better. And I think the way to make it better is to have an age limit on attending live sports. You'll have more energy, you'll have more enthusiasm, it will be more grassroots, we'll bring a whole new generation in to enjoy all sorts of live sports, and best of all, bearing in mind that the other place to see live sports is at the pub. You see how many of the older generation complain about younger people at the pub wrecking their experience with their noisy exuberance? We'll put them in the stadiums and give the pubs back to the older generation who enjoy a slightly more leisurely and sort of serviced approach to enjoying sports. I think these sort of limitations will make the world a better place, and ultimately the fact that it isn't already happening is more shocking to me.
So it's an upper age limit you're going for, not a younger age. You're not saying
I'm saying over a certain age, and I'm opening up because this is an embryonic idea.
What age are you considering?
Well, I'm currently 46, so I'm going to say 48 by virtue of the fact that I want that option available to me. Okay. But I think if we're going to be serious about this, and I am being serious about this, let me think about 55.
I like that idea because there's a level of bitterness that creeps into your supporting a team after a certain age. My 8-year-old loves Arsenal, and he doesn't understand that someone can go, you're rubbish. He stands in the terraces going, he's trying his best! Shouting at other fans.
He
gets super upset.
You're totally right, Wendy, because every single person who has gone to a stadium and has sat in a stadium, typically in an area you don't normally sit, has had their experience very heavily dented by the moaning mini. It's not the aggressive swearing, which of course is upsets if you take family or something like that. Mm. It's the person who goes, oh, again, why do they bother every time? Those people chip away at your soul. And sorry, older people, it's you.
And I think people may actually look forward to when I don't have to do this anymore in a few years, especially if you support a rubbish team like I do. Although the ageing population of Torbay, Torquay would end up having about 3 fans.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are some clubs out there that will struggle with this limit.
I have to say, maybe like jury duty, that every so often you get a wild card old person that comes. Today you get to go to Torquay to see your match play.
I mean, to be fair, when Exeter plays Torquay, it is very much like jury duty, isn't it? With a series of older people looking at a younger person opposite who clearly has committed a crime.
You were doing so well until you said Exeter City, which means I take a point off for that, which means you get 2 goals, Stephen. Andrew Ryan, speed cameras in F1.
Yes, we all know that Formula 1 is about driving around in a circle and see who can do it in the fastest time for about 120 laps. I think we need to have a little bit of jeopardy involved in it. I personally am not a massive fan of it because I just find it a little bit monotonous and a bit boring for me. So I think if we put in some speed cameras around the tracks, so for example, if we had 6 in, but not all 6 of them would be working at each time. Basically, the aim is to go around as fast as you can with the least amount of speeding tickets. So at the end of a race, if Lewis Hamilton crossed the line in 1 hour and 10 minutes, but he picked up 7 speeding tickets, each speeding ticket is worth 2 minutes, so therefore you have to add 14 minutes onto his time. And then the next car that finished second, say in 1 hour, 5 minutes, but only picked up 4 speeding tickets, then therefore it's the person who drove fast but considerately
I like it.
Actually wins the race rather than somebody who was completely reckless and went really fast, picked up too many tickets. And also the lights come on at different times in the track, but you don't know when the lights are going to be on, when the cameras are going to be on.
So you just have to slow down for them.
So you have to play it a mind game as well, as much as a
race. But there's no decisive winner when they cross the finish line. No one goes, yay, because you're like, hang on, we've got to do some maths before we figure that out.
But that actually happens in Formula 1 already, though. That happens in Formula 1 and already they...
You've got a time penalty.
Only if the time penalty happens within the time enough to bring you into the pits to serve your time penalty and get you back out again.
You have a limiter in the pit.
They do actually have time penalties which the marshals can apply after the race, where they will change the winner. So you're right, who's won has stolen from this, but that happens already.
It's a great idea, Andrew. I like it very much, and I'm going to give you 3 goals. Wendy, you're going to say 3 goals and out.
I'm going to say 3 goals and out. I think... When you watch football, I love watching football. As you know, I don't like it when it's a horrible, humiliating defeat of 10-0. I don't think anyone needs to see that. I don't think it's nice for the opposite team. I think what we should do, and it also adds an extra level of jeopardy, is that once you hit 3 goals, you start losing players on your team. So there's more drama there, and it's more tactical, and I think it increases the tension
as well.
It evens it up a little bit, and you don't get that horrible thinking. And I don't know if I've watched too much 8-year-old football, which is, we know 8-year-old football is football with all the fun removed.
With no fun.
No fun. I never thought I'd be watching a game where like the fans are shouting, run the other way, because they don't know where they're going. But yeah, I think I don't like seeing the humiliating defeats. I feel bad for everyone.
I like the humiliating defeats. The problem.
It's brutal.
What's the worst defeat you've ever seen Arsenal?
I remember I think it was like they beat someone 8-1. I want to say
it was an 8-1, wasn't it? It was an 8-1. I saw Torquay lose to Scunthorpe once, 8-1.
And how did you
feel?
Remember
the 8-2 against Man United?
There was an 8-2 against Man United. Brighton, what's the biggest Brighton defeat that you've seen, do you think?
I was at Anfield for our 6-1 defeat in the FA Cup, where we actually scored 3 own goals.
Oh, God.
which I believe was an FA Cup record. So if you were to count our goals, we actually won 4-3.
Birmingham must have been on the end of some...
Oh, we've had some absolute hammerings. And I was reporting for TalkSport the night that Liverpool beat them 7-0 in an FA Cup replay. That was about 14 years ago. Adrian Durham came to me for the seventh goal.
Yeah.
Saying it's men against boys. Ian Dant, I said it's men against amoebas, actually. Birmingham nil, Liverpool 7.
When you're reporting on your own team, yes, is it more difficult? Do you feel more personally involved?
Well, you have to. You know, you're talking to a national audience, so you. But I, to be fair, I've not covered Birmingham that often in recent times, because mostly it's Premier League that I'm doing. So I'm kind of spared that sort of quandary in my mind. But you go to a game like the semi-final of the League Cup against West Ham. When you're trying to report on a second leg of a tie that's switching one way and that, and you're trying to be neutral, it's very, very tough for the mask not to slip.
My first ever game that I saw live in England was Manchester United versus Ipswich 9-0.
Oh, was it?
Wow. 1994. Andy Cole got 5 goals.
As soon as any team goes 5-0 down in a Premier League game, it's Ipswich fans. You can see all over Twitter. Come on.
Get us out of this.
That was my first ever time seeing Man United live, and we won 5-0.
I have to say, 9-0. Just before you sort of cast sort of judgment on this, Charlie. When Wendy said, you know, we all hate humiliating defeats, I actually wrote commercial idea. Humiliating Defeats DVD. Right, because I genuinely believe around Christmas, no one would love more than to sit down and watch. And what you actually want to see is a bit of the game, but most of all, you want to see the close-up of people in the crowd, from the seasoned fans barely looking through their fingers to the children who are crying as all their hopes and dreams have been dashed. Humiliating Defeats DVD. I have to say, it's appalling schadenfreude, I know.
My goodness but me. It is... I'm going to get your kids a Man U kit.
But I just think...
Oh, dear. Cracks.
Cracks in the Man U kit if she follows Arsenal.
Cracks in the Brighton team today. Now, Wendy, I thought it was a really awful answer, but it created a really nice discussion.
Gary Neville was captain, and now Ryan Giggs has taken on the mantelpiece.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You're listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast from TalkSport. Time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both teams' history. Dance and Andrew, we're going to go back to 2008 and this.
He didn't look happy coming forward, Anelka, and he's not happy now because it's red in Russia. This English night in Europe is Manchester United's night. Best in the Premier League, their best in the Champions League, thanks to Edwin van der Sar's save.
Man United beat Chelsea on penalties to lift the Champions League trophy in Moscow. But what else do you remember of that year, 2008? Question one. It was the first time that two English sides had met in the final, and only the third time that two teams from the same nation had done so. but which European nation was the first to have two teams in the final? Was it A? That was Spain, or was it?
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Italy, or perhaps... France. Which one of those is it? Spain, Italy, or France? Which European nation was the first to have two teams in the final?
Right, it's not France. Italy, we've had Juventus and AC Milan at Old Trafford. And Spain, we've had Atletico Madrid against Real Madrid only a couple of years ago. It's Italy. It's the Old Trafford final. And it was a really boring final as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. Where we'll go, Italy.
Italy. You're going to Italy? Let's find out. It was Spain. It was Valencia and Real Madrid. There we are. Question two. Which famous Man United fan was unable to attend the final because they were singing at the PGA Championship at Wentworth? Was it A? Russell Watson? Or B?
Something got me started. You know that I will love you.
Mick Hucknall? Or perhaps... Ian Brown of the Stone Roses. Was it Russell Watson, Mick Hucknall or Ian Brown?
Well, first of all, I can't see Ian Brown singing at the PGA.
No, he wouldn't get past the members' lounge.
I don't think Ian Brown would do that. So Russell Watson...
Playing for the Fool's Gold Medal?
Yeah. Watson or Mick Hucknall. Now,
I know Mick Hucknall is
a season ticket holder.
Yes, he is.
And Ian Brown sits in the director's is a season box. Ticket holder because he sat in front of me when I had my season ticket in the case stand. Ian Brown had a season ticket. So I would say I really don't know, but golf to me would probably be more associated with Russell Watson.
I would say so, yeah. Well, let's go opera. Going for
opera and Russell Watson. Let's find out. Another incorrect answer. It was Mick Hucknall from Simply Red. Wendy, what was that about your wedding?
He crashed my first wedding.
He crashed your first wedding?
Yeah.
He wasn't booked to appear?
And he asked if I went, but I'd had a little bit to drink, and he said, do you want me to sing you a song? And I was like, no, fine, you're all right.
You should say to him, you can come and do the second wedding, don't you?
I should have done
that. And there we are,
Do you want me to sing, no, you're all right? That's
brilliant. Oh, dear. Question three. Can you tell me which long-running TV show came to an end that year? Was it A? Grange Hill? Or was it B? Parkinson? Or was it C? Grandstand. Do you think it was Grange Hill, Parkinson, or Grandstand?
I think Grandstand was before 2008.
Boom.
Okay. Grange Hill, I think, was late
Greatest
90s.
Greatest use of a timpani in any perfect, piece of music ever.
Just perfect.
And they always made sure, didn't they, on the starting credits, it was either somebody falling off a horse, or a well-connected right hook.
Beautiful bit
from a horse.
Grange Hill was in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it was Parkinson. Because his final show, didn't he have Billy Connolly and
Peter Kay? Well, he always had Billy Connolly.
And Peter Kay dressed up as a lollipop man or something like that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Parky it is then. We'll go Parky.
Parky, absolutely sure on Parky. Let's find out. Three wrong in that.
And that is the perfect end to that question as well.
Andrew got wrong on all three answers. He worked it out. He showed his workings out. He told us why it was. Absolutely definite.
And I fell for it.
Wah, wah, wah. Sausage.
I know. I know what it's like to be an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, there we are.
Oh look, so come on, get a little dig for me for no reason.
No goals. Wendy and Stephen.
We're going to go back to that fateful day in 1983 with this.
Yeah, ball played forward to Robinson. Robinson going forward strong. He's inside the Manchester United penalty area. He finds Smith, and Smith must score, and he hasn't scored, and Bailey has saved it.
Gary Bailey's save meant that the FA Cup final between Brighton and Man United finished in a 2-2 draw and went to a replay 5 days later, which Brighton lost 4-0. But what else do you remember of that year? Here we go, question one. It was a double whammy of disappointment for Brighton that year as they were relegated after finishing bottom of the First Division. At the other end of the table, Liverpool won the title. But can you tell me who was the First Division's top goal scorer that year? Was it A?
Dalglish. Oh, that's nice! That's lovely!
Kenny Dalglish or B?
Knocked on for Andy Gray. Oh, what a magnificent strike by Andy Gray.
Andy Gray or C?
Blissett. Good goal. Simple, but so well executed.
Luther Blissett, who was the top scorer in 1983? Kenny Dalglish, Andy Gray or Luther Blissett?
What do you think, Wendy?
I'm thinking King Kenny.
You're thinking I am as well, because I'm pretty sure in that year that Brighton went down that Liverpool were the form team. I don't remember. I mean, Andy Gray would have been Everton at the time, wouldn't he, as well? I don't remember Everton being anywhere near them at that. Ugh. Do you know what? I'm not going to show my working
Kenny
out
Douglas.
Because it absolutely came back to haunt Andy. So I'm just going to go straight forward with the Kenny.
King Kenny Dalglish. Let's find out.
Blissett. Good goal. Simple. So well executed.
Luther Blissett scored 27 goals that season for Watford, who finished First Division runners-up. Here we go. Question two. Which player that year became the first to appear in 1,000 competitive matches? Was it A?
Alan Ball was probably the greatest influence on this match of any player on the field. This one of Arsenal's finest performances, and certainly one of Alan Ball's best performances ever for Arsenal.
Alan Ball, or was it B?
And right there, with a brilliant save, was Jennings.
Pat Jennings, or perhaps C?
I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Kevin Keegan, Alan Ball, Pat Jennings, or Kevin Keegan?
1,000
competitive matches.
OK, fine. So if it was Keegan, that would include Hamburg and back, wouldn't it? So, I was 9. This makes this tricky.
I was 10. Yeah.
Right, OK. So I always think when it comes to the maximum appearances, you always go goalkeepers because they just stretch them right into their late 30s.
So you think Pat Jennings?
So I would have gone Jennings, but...
OK.
Yeah.
Pat Jennings?
Pat Jennings, let's find out.
And right there, with a brilliant save, was Jennings.
It was Pat Jennings. Very, very good. Question three. Can you tell me what was the biggest selling single of the year in the UK? Was it A? Let's Dance, David Bowie, or B? Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Sweet Dreams, the Eurythmics, or perhaps? Karma Chameleon Culture Club. Was it Let's Dance, David Bowie, Sweet Dreams, the Eurythmics, or Karma Chameleon Culture Club?
You're right, it was number one for ages, wasn't it? Even though the other two were bigger songs. If it was the other way round, they wouldn't use Karma Chameleon as one of the fake ones, because we wouldn't have remembered it.
Let's go for Culture Club, shall we?
Culture Club.
Culture Club. Karma Chameleon. Let's find out. So, at the end of that round, you scored 2 goals, Brighton and Hove Albion, which makes it Man United 11, Brighton 10.
We thrashed Romania 0-0 in the first half.
Here on Glory Hunters, we like to ask the big questions, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to be subjected to the scrutiny of the general public as we play... A question of sport time. Obviously, given the current restrictions, the public are submitting their questions remotely. So can we have our first question, please?
Hello, panel. I'd like to know if you've ever embarrassed yourself in front of a famous name.
Have you embarrassed yourself in front of a famous name, Stephen Grant?
Yes.
You must have met some famous people.
I have. It was a protracted embarrassment over about 10 minutes of interview. I interviewed Gus Poyet once for a Brighton-based podcast, and I was trying to get a little bit of background, and so I emailed a few people I knew who worked at the club, and someone just wrote to me, I quite sort of respect high up, as the press officer there, he said, but just wrote, are you Gus? Question mark. Get him, mate. So I was quite confrontational, and he's really spiky back if you do that back. He's sort of South American blood. Anyway, what he actually told me to do was get him mate, which is a South American tea, which he is incredibly fond of. M-A-T-E with an accent over the top of it. It wasn't get him, mate. It was get him mate. And apparently, if you get him a cup of South American tea, he's an absolute pussycat, and he'll do anything you say.
What is the? Do we know what that tea is? Is it particularly thick, sort of licorice type of tea, or is it?
It's one of those ones that is sort of advertised as a pick-me-up, so you do wonder whether any of the contents would you'd be searched for on entering Heathrow. But it's a popular sort of like caffeinated drink like we would have, but very much local to South America. But yeah, if you ever are interviewing Gus Poyet, get him mate, don't get him mate.
Beautiful. I'm going to give you two goals. Andrew Ryan.
So basically, many years ago, I was performing at the Virgin Festival in Staffordshire,
All right.
Comedy Festival, and Eddie Izzard was on the bill. Mm. And I was backstage. I was going on maybe 40 minutes before him, and he turned up with his management in the car, and there's a little port cabin, and we're all sitting inside. And then, next thing you know, it was just me and him in the port cabin. People had gone outside for a chat or whatever. I got up to the tea and coffee machine and I just said, Eddie, would you like a cup of tea and or coffee? And he went, no, thank you. And then there was a little basket of confectionery, you know, little sweets and biscuits. And I just said to him, would you like a Kit Kat or anything? And he kind of jumped up and was like, oh, yes, actually I would. And as I looked back down to the basket of confectionery, there was no Kit Kats. I just panicked because I didn't know. I wanted to break the silence, and he came up and he kind of looking for like the Kit Kat, and he was like Kit Kat, and I just went, yeah, there's no Kit Kat. And then he just looked at me and went, okay, and then just walked out of the porta cabin, and I've never seen him. So people say the most embarrassing thing is I offered Eddie Izzard a Kit Kat that did not exist.
Not exist. Yeah, I love that, Andrew. Three goals for you there, Andrew.
Thank
Ian
you.
Danter.
This is really embarrassing. I work with lots of famous people here at TalkSport, and my most embarrassing moment goes back to a day when I was doing a Sunday afternoon TalkSport show as a presenter with Alvin Martin and Jason Cundy.
Oh, yep, lovely.
And I'd done a gig the night before because I used to be in a Kiss tribute band.
Yes.
With the makeup and the costumes.
This is true.
We were called Dress to Kill.
Yes.
Which is the title of their album. So right, okay. There's more obvious. Yeah, Smooch, you'll snog. Anyway,
what did you play?
I was the drummer.
Your drummer.
Peter Crisp rather than Peter Criss. Anyway, we'd done this gig in Stourbridge in the West Midlands, and they always gave you free pizza, the venue, once you'd finished playing. And there was something not quite right, evidently, about the slice of pizza that I ate. Because as I drove down to London the next morning from my home in the Midlands, I was starting to feel a little bit dicey. Thought it was just next to nothing.
Yeah.
Felt progressively worse as I got to the office at the old TalkSport building and prepped the show. Went on air, and about a quarter of an hour in, Jason and Alvin are sat just alongside me, and I was asking Jason Cundy a question about club versus country. And I thought, this is it. I've got to throw up. And there was a massive, big plastic bin. We used to put our discarded texts and emails in there in the days where we weren't bothered about saving the planet. As soon as I finished the question, and there is a clip somewhere on the TalkSport system that I don't believe has ever been played to the public since it happened, I just, as gently as I could, leaned over and blew chunks into this right in front of Alvin and Jason. And Jason, in trying to answer the question, brilliant. I mean, he was so professional. He got the words clubs and country mixed up. That's kind of in a little bit of trouble.
He's not going to earn any more money than he is in the Premiership. And you hear often these presidents of clubs, certainly in Spain and Italy, voicing off exactly what they want to do. I think it's just to appease the crowd, to be honest.
You know Paul Elliott quite well.
Yep.
I mean, he had a distinguished time.
Pisa, yeah. Yeah, he had a big time at Pisa. Of course, he was. He went to Celtic and I played with him at Chelsea. Alf, you must have played against Paul Elliott. He was an incredibly good player, and as far as I could see, he was doing ever so well.
And I, the next thing I remember was waking up in trap two of the toilets on the second floor of the old building in the fetal position, and I've no idea how I got there. It was like I had a 24-hour like norovirus suddenly, and but yet being sick on air in front of Alvin Martin and Jason Cundy and about a million listeners.
Were you still in your Kiss makeup at the time? Or
thankfully, it was all scraped off. You would not have known what I'd been up to the night before. But
yeah, what a great,
maybe I should have been.
What that a great anecdote! Fantastic, three goals, brilliant. Wendy Wason.
My embarrassing anecdote about celebrity was when I was a kid, I spent 4 years in Dubai. And at that point, I was like 83, 84. Loads of people were coming out. Like they had Billy Connolly came out and they were just sort of, it was starting to be what it is now. And one day, George Best came out and he came to my school and he was going to teach a selected bunch of kids how to take penalties. Mm. And I didn't want to do it and I was mortified. And my father was like, you are doing this because I want to meet George Best. And it came to my turn to take the penalty and I ran up and I stood on the ball by accident and went flying.
Oh, no.
And my dad was mortified. My dad didn't talk to me all the way home.
In front of George Best.
In front of George Best.
Any story that involves George Best, A, and you falling over, Wendy, I enjoy particularly.
Do you?
So that's three goals for you, Wendy. So in the dying moments of the game, we now move into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. The losing side goes first, which is currently Brighton on 23 goals. I am going to list a series of bizarre footballing facts. I need you to tell me which are true, which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
We go for it!
Are we ready? Your time starts now. Now, Notts County are the reason Juventus wear a black and white strip.
True.
It is true. Arthur Conan Doyle played in goal for Portsmouth.
True.
It is true. TV's Matt Baker wrote the song Diamond Lights.
False.
It is false. Fernando Torres started his career as a goalkeeper.
True.
It is true. Nigel Pearson was a child actor and appeared in an advert for Fairy Liquid.
True.
It's false. Dundee United have played and beaten Barcelona four times.
That's true.
It is true. India withdrew from the 1950 World Cup because they weren't allowed to play barefoot.
True.
It is true. Mark Lawrenson was the first person to call football the beautiful game.
False.
It's false. Referees have the power to send themselves off.
Yes, true, because it's other referees.
It's true. Jose Mourinho had assertiveness training prior to arriving at Chelsea.
False.
It's false. Former Welsh international Ryan Giggs captained England at schoolboy level.
True.
It's true. Sylvester Stallone lived with Peter Shilton in preparation for his role as a goalie in Escape to Victory.
Go for it!
It is false. You got 11 correct. Very, very good. Takes you to 34 goals. OK, Man United, Andrew and Ian. I am going to list a series of bizarre sporting facts. All you have to do is tell me which are true, which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound. Are we ready? Your time starts now. No high jumper has ever managed to stay off the ground for longer than a second.
True.
It's true. Tug of war was once an Olympic sport.
True.
It is true. Daley Thompson ran a roller disco when he first retired from athletics.
False.
It is false. Brazil's first ever football match was against Exeter City.
False.
It's true. Golf and croquet are the only two sports to have been played on the moon.
True.
It's false. Just golf. Olympic gold medals are 92% silver.
True.
It's true. Paper, scissors, stone is banned in Macedonia.
False.
It is false. Cheerleading was once an all-male activity.
True.
It is true. Vatican City has a national football team.
True.
It is true. Wimbledon grass courts were originally clay.
True.
It's false. Hide and seek has been given official sports status.
False.
It's false. In bowling, three strikes in a row is called a turkey.
True.
It is true. Some Formula One cars come equipped with a sat nav.
False.
It's false. Kite flying is a profession. I need to ask the question. Kite flying is a professional sport in Thailand.
True.
It's true. At the end of that round, you scored 11 goals,
yes,
which means the final scores are Man United 35, Brighton 34.
Yes, indeed.
Brighton, indeed. Any lessons learned at all, Brighton? Wendy?
Well, we still have the upper hand because we're much kinder to the opponents than they are.
That's true, isn't it? That is true.
We have the moral victory.
And kindness wins, doesn't it?
It does.
Always. Stephen used to losing, but This one must be a kick in the teeth.
Yeah, it is. But thankfully, my teeth have become reinforced through a random set of kickings over the last year. And so, therefore, they bounce it back with aplomb.
You lost the election, but you won the argument.
There we are. Dance. One appearance, one victory.
Very much beginner's luck.
Oh, OK, very much. Andrew?
It's my fifth victory.
Fifth victory,
yes.
Is it? So I'm
I just want to say a big thank you. Really enjoyed it. And Brighton were great fun and great sports.
Okay.
It was great fun.
Very patronising. Patronising and arrogant. It's difficult
classic
to put
Man United thing and two off. Trying to make out you're a good sport after
When are you moving to a new stadium?
Yeah. So, to our winners, we say...
Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
And for the losers...
Boo!
My thanks to Wendy, Stephen, Dance and Andrew. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, is goodbye. So there we are, a victory for Man United. Andrew, you must be proud of yourself.
Absolutely delighted, you know, a hard-fought victory there, you know.
Why are you sounding like a football manager?
Because you asked the question like a football interview.
Yeah, but I'm expecting an edgy... No. This is the podcast.
What would
we
your
don't
football
redo
manager
it.
Outfit be? Would you
yes,
be like...
Thank you,
in a,
I wear
sorry.
A suit.
No, it's good.
Would it be a suit or like one of those sort of camel coats?
I wear a suit. I've got blonde hair. And very dark skinned as well. I like sexy sort of. Oh yeah.
Was there ever a football manager with AR as the initials? Because I always think that, you know, they have their initials on their tracksuits.
Yes.
Yeah. I always wonder if you're waiting for a manager to have the same initials as you, so you could have their cast off tracksuit.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
And I don't know if there's any for anybody here. Sam, has there been a WW?
I don't think there's been a WW. No.
Wickham Wanderers. So. You could just some Wickham Wanderers stuff.
No? I'll keep an eye out.
ID? No IDs anywhere?
Not
fake
that
ID?
Ever,
no.
Okay,
Ian Dowie.
Let's go.
Ian Dowie.
Let's get out of here.
Ian Dowie.
Ian Dowie. Ian, if you're listening, if Ian Dancer could have all
leftover
your old leftover tracksuits, that'd be marvellous. Thanks for joining us on the Glory Hunters podcast. Do rate and subscribe and retweet and do all those things we ask you to do on the end of podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.